إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening we'd like to begin bi-iznillahi ta'ala lecture number 26, the first in this section or this group of lectures after the examination, and the chapter that we will begin with this evening is entitled Bab Ma Ja'a Fi At-Tanjeem. And this chapter is the next chapter from the last one that we covered in Kitab al-Tawheed, الذي هو حق الله على العبيد, by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah. In this chapter, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions two hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the sayings of some of the scholars of the people of the Sunnah concerning one of the issues under this chapter. So there are basically three points or three evidences that have been mentioned here. For that reason, since the chapter is short, we will attempt to take the next chapter along with it. The chapter entitled Bab Ma Ja'a Fil Istisqa'i Bil Anwa'i. In this chapter, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab begins the chapter with the hadith Qala al-Bukhari, or with the statement Qala al-Bukhari rahimahullah fi sahihihi Qala Qatada. Qatada rahimahullah was one of the scholars of the Tabi'een, and Qatada rahimahullah expressed his opinion concerning the issue of Tanjeem, where he explains the reasons why the stars have been created. He said, خَلَقَ اللَّهَ هَذِهِ النُّجُومِ لِلثَّلَاثٍ, and he that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these stars, and the heavenly bodies, for three things, for three purposes, or three reasons. زِينَةً لِلسَّمَاعِ وَرُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ وَعَلَامَاتٍ يُحْتَدَى بِهَا. يعني that the heavenly bodies, the stars, they have been created for a wisdom. They have a purpose. The hikmah for which the nujum have been created are three. The first of them is zina lissama, يعني to adorn the heavens as a decoration or an adornment for the heavens. The second purpose is rujum. رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ, as missiles against the shayateen, the devils. And the third of them is عَلَامَاتٍ يُحْتَدَى بِهَا, as signs or marks, landmarks or marks by which the traveler may be guided. Then after mentioning these three things, he said, فَمَنْ تَأَوَّلَ فِيهَا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ, then whoever interprets them or claims that they have some purpose other than these which have been mentioned, أَخْطَأَ وَأَضَاعَ نَصِيبَهُ وَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ, then such a person has erred, يعني he is in error, and he has also أَضَاعَ نَصِيبَهُ, he has lost his portion or his reward in the next life on the day of judgment, and he has taken upon himself the responsibility, وَتَكَلَّفَ, he has taken upon himself the responsibility, مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ, of which, for that which he has no knowledge. He has taken upon himself, he has claimed something which in reality he has no knowledge of. The meaning of the statement of Qatada rahimahullah huna in this place, that whoever understands it or claims that they have some other purpose, he means he is referring to the people who claim to have knowledge of the unseen by examining or referring to the movements or the positions of the heavenly bodies. And in those people who claim to be able to predict the future or claim to be able to know what will happen on earth by the movements or the positions of the heavenly bodies. Otherwise, it is possible that there can be some other hikmah, some wisdom for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the stars or the nujum. However, these are the purposes that are known. And as for those who claim to give them some other purpose, such as that which is contradicted by the Quran and Sunnah, and those who claim that by the movement of the heavenly bodies or their positions and so on, that they can predict the future or can achieve some knowledge of the unseen, then indeed this is refuted by the Quran and by the Sunnah. And for this reason he said, whoever claims other than these things, yani he is referring to those people who claim knowledge of the unseen, then indeed they have erred and they have lost their portion of the next life, because they have fallen into shirk and kufr by claiming that which is the exclusive right of Allah alone. And they have taken upon themselves the responsibility, or they have taken upon themselves something for which they have no knowledge. This statement, this athar of Qatada rahimahullah, is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih. The Shaykh Muhammad Al-Qarawi, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says that the relationship of this athar to the chapter heading, Bab ma ja'a fi at-tanjim, yani what has been narrated or reported concerning at-tanjim, he said, it is that this athar or this narration or this report makes us to know that the opinion of Qatada is that it is not permissible. It is not permissible for anyone to have a belief concerning the nujum, the heavenly bodies, more than, yani, that they have any purpose more than what has been mentioned here, these three things. And of course, as we said, it means that he is referring to those who try to claim that they can have some knowledge of the unseen. The relationship of this athar to the subject of at-tawheed is that Qatada rahimahullah here has rejected and denied what is claimed by the Ahlul Tanjim, the people of astrology, what they claim of having knowledge of the ghaib, ilm al-ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, because this is a form of shirk with Allah, ishraq ma'Allah fi ilm al-ghayb. Yani they have made themselves a partner with Allah in the knowledge of the unseen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has knowledge of the unseen, as is mentioned in many places, both in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And from that which is mentioned in the Quran is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 65, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani that no one in the heavens or the earth knows the ghaib except Allah. No one in the heavens or in the earth, human, angels, prophets or otherwise. No one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever he has revealed to whoever he revealed something to, of the prophets or messengers or the angels. Then the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, mentions some statements of some of the scholars concerning the study, ta'allum manazil al-qamr, the study of the positions or the phases of the moon in its revolving during the period of the month, its 28 stages that it travels through, and the study of this movement of the moon and the movement of the stars in reference to whether or not it is permissible or not. وَكَرِهَا قَتَادَ تَعَلُّمْ مَنَازِلَ الْقَمْرِ. يعني قَتَادَ detested. He considered it as makruh, and the makruh of the early generations of the scholars was haram, not like the later scholars of fiqh who made a distinction between makruh and haram, and they considered makruh to be that which, if a person leaves it, then they will be rewarded for leaving it, for obeying Allah and avoiding that which is detestable or undesirable, and those who fell into it, they would not be punished for it. They would not be punished for it. As opposed to that which is haram, whoever avoids it would be rewarded for leaving it, and whoever falls into it would be punished. However, the meaning of makruh here, and Allah knows best, according to what was understood by the early generation of the scholars in the use of makruh, is that it's haram. وَكَرِهَ قَتَادَ تَعَلَّمْ مَنَازِلَ الْقَمْرِ. that he detested or he considered it as haram, the studying of the phases of the moon. وَلَمْ يُرَخِّصْ إِبْنِ الْعُيَيْنَةِ. Nor did Ibn Uyayna, that is Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, nor did he give permission. He didn't allow also, similar to Qatada, he did not allow the studying of these things. وَلَمْ يُرَخِّصْ إِبْنِ عُيَيْنَةِ فِيهِ. And he didn't allow the learning or the studying of Manazil al-Qamar, the phases of the moon, or the study of the movements of the heavenly bodies. ذكره حرب عنهما. يعني حرب, one of the students of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, mentioned or narrated these two sayings from Qatada and Ibn Uyayna. ورخص أحمد وإسحاق في تعلم المنازل. And Imam Ahmed rahimahullah and Ishaq, Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, allowed or gave permission or authorized the study or the learning of al-manazil, the phases or the movements or stages of the moon or the heavenly bodies. The relationship of this asr to the subject under discussion or the bab under discussion is that this report or this narration indicates that Qatada and Ibn Uyayna, two of the great imams of the early generations of the Muslims, rahimahumullah, that they disliked or they detested the learning of the study of the phases of the moon. As for Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, rahimahullah, both of them allowed, they considered it permissible to study the phases of the moon. Then the Shaykh Al-Qara'awi, rahimahullah, makes a note here and he says, At-Tanjim has three divisions. Some of the scholars have divided it into two and some into three. In any case, the meaning is the same. And those which divided into two, the first two divisions here that he has mentioned, they have put them in one category. He says, At-Tanjim, and At-Tanjim, it means the study of the heavenly bodies. And it is of two types. The study of the heavenly bodies by those who claim to have knowledge of the unseen through it, and the study of the heavenly bodies in order to know the time periods or the seasons or the directions, the direction of Qibla, which way is north and south and so on. One of them, it is astrology, which is prohibited, and the other is astronomy, which is permissible. At-Tanjim, thalathati aqsam. It is three divisions. One of them is kufr. One of the divisions of Tanjim is kufr. And that is the belief that the heavenly bodies, that they are the active force by their choice, and that the actions or the activities that take place amongst the human beings are based on the effect that the heavenly bodies have over other creatures in the universe. Yani, the first of these divisions is kufr. It is the belief that these heavenly bodies have some effect, that they have some power, that they have some control over what happens in this world, that they are an active force and by choice they cause things to happen. This is kufr, without a doubt. The second division, which is similar to it, which is also kufr and shirk, it is the using al-istidlal al-hawadith, yani the movement of the heavenly bodies, those people who use as a proof the indication of what will happen in this world, they use as a proof the movement of the heavenly bodies. They're coming together or they're separating, and then they say that by watching these movements, and whether or not the bodies come together or they separate from one another or their movements, they say that this is by the taqdeer of Allah, wa mashiyati. And it is what Allah has decreed and it is His will. However, even while they are saying that, they are still saying that these heavenly bodies and their movement affect what happens in the world. And there's no doubt that this is also prohibited because it is a type of shirk. And it is a type of shirk in that they are saying that what happens is by the qadr of Allah, and it is according to the will of Allah, while at the same time they are giving some share of that power to the heavenly bodies, that they have some control or some effect over what happens in this world. And they are giving some share of the authority of rububiyyah, of the control of the universe, to some of His creatures. The third type is, and these two come under the title of ilm al-ta'athir, al-ta'athir. Ilm al-ta'athir. Ta'athir is the thing that affects something, the effect. Saying that these heavenly bodies have some effect on what happens in the world. Both of these types are prohibited. The third type is ilm al-tasyir. Tasyir. التسيير, علم التسيير, and that is in reference to the movement of heavenly bodies, watching their movement in order to know something about the direction of the Qibla, or the way to travel, or the times of the year, the seasons, and so on. He says, ilm al-tasyir. The third type is ilm al-tasyir. And the person learns from it how to guide himself in traveling. And the knowledge of which direction is the Qibla, and the roads for traveling, and the time, yani the seasons of the year and so on, or the time of the day. This is jaiz, permissible, according to the jamhur, or the majority of scholars. Ilm al-tasyir, yani knowing something about the directions or time of the day or seasons by the movement or the positions of heavenly bodies. And this is permissible, and this doesn't include any claim of knowledge of the future or knowledge of the unseen or any effect that these heavenly bodies have on what happens in the world. The second note that the Shaykh makes is the argument against those who use as a proof the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 16, وَعَلَامَةٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Yani the verse in the Quran that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixing in the earth mountains which stand firm, and setting in the earth rivers and roads that you may guide yourselves. And then after that, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the earth mountains that remain firm. He put into the earth landmarks, wa alamatin, landmarks that the people guide themselves by during the day. Wa bin najmi, and the stars which are in the sky which they guide themselves through by night. Wa bin najmi hum yahtadun. Some of the people of deviation try to claim or try to use this verse as a proof that the stars are a guide not in showing the way for traveling or direction or time, but that it is a guide in knowing something about the unseen. So they use this as a proof of the correctness of ilm at-tanjim, yani astrology. And this is false because there are many proofs which show the prohibition of astrology. Ilm at-tanjim, yani the effect of the movement of heavenly bodies on the rest of the world. There are many proofs against this, and therefore this idea that the heavenly bodies have some effect on what is happening on earth, that they control the lives of the human being in any way or affect them, this is false. And it becomes clear, yani from the proofs, the other proofs concerning this matter, it becomes clear that the meaning of this ayat is that the stars, by means of guidance, meaning of knowing certain stars, can indicate the direction that someone may need to travel in. They know that this star is always in the northern sky or in the southern sky and so on, or that it comes at a certain time, and from this they are able to guide themselves or know times or seasons. The third comment, or the third statement that is mentioned here, is the hadith from Abi Musa, عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة مدمن الخمر وقاطع الرحم ومصدق السحر. يعني there are three people who would not enter the paradise. The first of them is مدمن الخمر, that is the one who is a habitual alcohol consumer, the one who consumes alcohol habitually, continuously, and remains in that condition until they die in it. This person, mudmin al-khamr, the alcoholic, is a person who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said would not enter the paradise. Wa qati ar-rahim, that is the one who cuts off the relations, cuts off family ties and blood relations, and doesn't keep ties with his family. Wa musaddiq bis-sihr, yani the one who confirms the truthfulness of sihr. And here the sihr that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is referring to is the sihr of tanjim, ilm al-tanjim. This has been reported by Rawahu Ahmed wa Ibn Hibban fi sahihihi. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah and Ibn Hibban reported this hadith, and Ibn Hibban considered it sahih. Likewise, it was reported by Al-Hakim, who said that it was sahih, And Al-Imam Al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, agreed with him. While some of the scholars considered this hadith to have some weakness, and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Arnaout, in his tahqiq or checking of the Sahih Ibn Hibban, he said that the isnad of this hadith is weak. It contains a narrator who is not acceptable. However, due to the hadith being reported by a number of other asanid, he said that perhaps it is strengthened and raised up to the level of hasan due to the support of other narrations. And perhaps this was also the opinion that that hadith, even if it had some defect in it, it was raised up to being acceptable, according to the opinion of Al-Hakam and Al-Zahabi and Ibn Hibban and others. The general meaning of this hadith, in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three types of people that would not enter the paradise, and that is because of the major sins, and that is because of some major sins which cause harm to the individual as well as harm to the society. These type of sins cause harm to the individual as well as the society. The first of them is the one who drinks continuously, the alcoholic, and that is because it causes him to lose his mind, his reasoning and senses, and even his humanity. And also he falls, yani, in terms in the society, his status is, yani, is degraded because he doesn't observe even the moral customs of the society. Number two, the second of them is those who don't keep ties with their relatives, and that is because this causes enmity and division between the members of the family. And this may cause a person to live alone from even those who are the nearest to him of his family. The third of them is the one who confirms the truthfulness or believes in a sihr, magic. And again, what we are talking about here specifically, although other forms of magic might also be included, but specifically in this chapter we're talking about ilm al-tanjim or astrology. And the reason why magic is also included amongst these things is because it encourages those people who take advantage of the people, the liars and deceivers. It encourages them to take the wealth of the people by falsehood. So all of these things affect the individual and they also affect the society, and therefore they are considered, there is a stern warning against them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people would not enter the paradise. However, some of the scholars mentioned concerning this type of statement that it is of an-nusus, yani nusus al-wa'id. It is of those texts from the Quran or from the Sunnah that express a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people for doing a certain action. And these nusus al-wa'id, these texts from the Quran or from the Sunnah that express a threat or a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person will be punished in hellfire, will be punished with such and such and so, the scholars disliked to explain these things away, and they said we should accept them just as they are. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that person would not enter paradise, then we don't give it another interpretation, but we accept it as it is. However, we also confirm that this threat, the wa'id from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, goes back to His Mashiach. It goes back to the will of Allah, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may punish them if He wills. Allah has the right to forgive whom He wills. And He said that the only thing He would not forgive is shirk, the person who dies on shirk. However, anything less than that, Allah forgives of it whatever He wills. Therefore, the nusus al-wa'id, the texts that have a threat, contain a threat, should be understood just as they are without interpreting them in any other way. However, keeping in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He punishes them, if He wills to punish them, He will punish them, and that is what they deserve, and that is justice. And if He forgives them, then this is in accordance with His favor and His mercy and His forgiveness. So that means that these people, they deserve to enter the hellfire, and if Allah wills, He will punish them in hellfire. However, if He wills, He may forgive them, and they may not enter the hellfire. It is according to the Mashiach or the will of Allah. From this, the Shaykh mentions three benefits. The first of them is the prohibition of khamr. And from this hadith, we understand the prohibition of alcohol. The second of them is the obligation of keeping ties of relations, that it is obligatory on the believers to keep ties with their relatives. And number three, the prohibition of believing that magic is true, believing in the truthfulness of magic. Of course, the effect of magic is real. Indeed, there is some effect that the magicians, if they use magic on someone, it may affect them mentally, it may affect them physically, it may cause sickness and it may cause death. However, the believing in them, believing what they say, and believing, especially those who claim to have knowledge of the unseen, believing that they have knowledge of the unseen, or believing that they can cause harm to anyone, outside of or in spite of Allah's decree. And if Allah decrees, then they cannot harm anyone, unless Allah allows it. Believing that they have power to harm people, even if Allah doesn't will it, this is what we mean by believing in them. We believe that if Allah wills, they may harm someone. However, if Allah doesn't allow it, they have no power and no authority in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except by what He allows. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter heading is that this hadith indicates the prohibition of believing in the power of any type of magic or the magicians. And from amongst it is ilm al-tamjim or astrology here. The relationship of this hadith to tawheed is that this hadith shows the prohibition of believing in the magicians and their magic, including astrology or ilm al-tamjim. And that is because in this astrology there is the claim that someone has knowledge of the unseen, and the knowledge of the unseen is the right of Allah alone, no one shares it with him, and therefore this is a manner of associating them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that knowledge which is his exclusive right. This is the end of the matters related to ilm al-tanjim. And just quickly, the masail that are mentioned at the end of this chapter, that I mentioned in the original book of Kitab al-Tawheed, in the edition that's published by Dar al-Salam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions four issues, or four important matters. The first of them is the wisdom, the hikmah, the wisdom or the reason or the purpose for which the heavenly bodies have been created, the stars. And there are three reasons. The first of them is for beautification or adornment of the heavens. The second of them is for the stoning of the shayateen. And the third of them, that they are signs through which a person is guided in his traveling. The second issue is the refutation of those who claim other than that, yani those who claim that the heavenly bodies are a means, for example, to know something about the knowledge of the unseen, then this is a refutation of them. And whoever claims other than that, then indeed they have erred, and they have lost their portion of the next life, that is, they have fallen into kufr or shirk, and therefore they will not have any reward in the next life, in the paradise. The third issue is the mentioning of the khilaf, or the difference of opinion concerning the learning of manazil al-qamr, yani the stages or the phases of the moon. And the difference of opinion here was that some of the scholars, such as Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Qatada, held that it was prohibited to study the movements of the bodies, this ilm, the phases of the moon, or the movements of the bodies, the heavenly bodies. And the other scholars, like Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway, rahimahullah, held that it was permissible. And the reconciliation or the jam or tawfiq between these two opinions is that those who said that it was prohibited, it is in reference to ilm al-ta'athir, yani the knowledge of the heavenly bodies, of those who claim that the movements or positions of heavenly bodies affect the activities in this world, that they have some effect or some power over the activities in this world, while those who allowed it are talking about ilm al-tasyir, that is, studying the movements of the heavenly bodies or the positions to know the seasons or the time of the day, the hour, or the direction of Qibla or north and south and so on. The fourth and last issue is the threat for those who believed in anything of magic, even, as he says, even if they know that it is false. And whoever believes in something of ilm al-tanjim, that these people who claim to know something about the future, the knowledge of the unseen, whoever testifies to the truthfulness of what they said by their tongue, even if in their heart they believe that it is false, then this threat that they would never enter the paradise is applicable to them. How can they express on their tongue that this is true if they know in their heart that it is false? Indeed, whoever says it from their tongue, then the least harm that may come from it is that they may mislead other people and cause people to engage in it or to follow in these things that are prohibited in Islam, that are kufr and shirk. The questions, just quickly, is what are the two divisions of a tanjim? They are ilm, at-ta'athir, and the study of the heavenly bodies with the claim that the movement or position of these bodies control something in this world to the exclusion of Allah. And the second of them is ilm at-tasyir, studying of the movement of the heavenly bodies in order to know the directions in traveling or the seasons or time of the day. Define each division of a tanjim. We mentioned them already and we defined each of them, and the legal ruling concerning them. We also mentioned that the legal ruling concerning ilm at-ta'athir, those who claim that these heavenly bodies and their movement affect the activities on the earth, is that it is haram. And the claiming of such knowledge is also shirk, is a form of shirk. While the second division, ilm at-tasyir, the studying of the heavenly bodies in order to know which direction is the south or the north, or to know the time of the day like sunset or sunrise or dawn, or the seasons of the year, this is permissible. Allah created these stars for three reasons, and in the statement of Qatada, name the three reasons. The three reasons: he created them to adorn the heavens as missiles against the shayateen who try to steal a hearing, and also as signs by which the traveler may be guided. What is the ruling concerning someone who claims that the stars have some other purpose? The ruling is that such a person would not have any portion. No, they wouldn't have any naseeb in the next life. They wouldn't enter the paradise. What is the ruling concerning the study of manazil al-qamr, the lunar phases? The ruling concerning it is that there's difference of opinion. Some scholars allowed it and some prohibited it. Those who allowed it, it is based on the division of ilm al-tanjim into those who claim that the movement of heavenly bodies or the positions affect the activities in the earth, or those who only use it as a means to know the directions or times. So that the ruling concerning the study of manazil al-qamr is that it is allowed if we're talking about ilm at-tasyir, yani knowing the directions and times, and it is prohibited if we're talking about having some knowledge of the unseen by the positions of certain heavenly bodies or their movements. How can we reconcile the ikhtilaf concerning the study of manazil al-qamr? We have just explained it, yani that there is a type. The ikhtilaf, those who said it's permissible and those who said it's not, is based on the two different divisions of the study of the heavenly bodies, yani ilm al-tanjim. Is it guaranteed that those mentioned in the hadith of Abu Musa will not enter al-Jannah? We said that we understand the hadith of this is based on the hadith of Abu Musa, that the Prophet ﷺ said that the three will not enter paradise, and he mentioned those three. We say that it is not guaranteed that they will not enter the Jannah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, He may forgive them. And therefore they might enter the paradise, even if He punished them and then allows them out, or if He forgives them, it is according to Allah's will. However, this is from the Nusus, Al-Wa'id, in which there is a threat, and we say that that threat, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He will fulfill it and punish them justly. Or if He wills, He may punish them out of His mercy and His favor. Mention some of the fawaid. The fawaid are mentioned with each of the evidences or the ahkam or rulings, we have discussed them. We will attempt, naam, fadda ya akhi. Naam. Naam. The saying of Qatada is what? Obviously, it is not whatever is reported from the matters of unseen, then it has two rulings. Either if it is from those who are known to have taken from the Ahl Kitab, then we might consider it as Israeliyat, and that is one matter. However, if it is not from the matters of the unseen, then it would be considered as that which had to have come to him from the Sahaba, from the Prophet ﷺ, because it could only be known by revelation. So it is based on yani what knowledge has been reported to him, and not it is not, Qatada wasn't known to be from amongst those who reported Israeliyat or the reports from the Ahlul Kitab, And therefore, it should be considered as that which is passed down to him from Sahaba and from the Prophet ﷺ. In any case, these things that are mentioned in this statement of Qatada are confirmed in other evidences. They are confirmed in the Quran and other verses and in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. These purposes are confirmed as being the purposes for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the stars or the heavenly bodies. And for these purposes, this is what is confirmed. If there is any other wisdom in the creation of the heavenly bodies, then that is something that is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second chapter and the evidences concerning it, what is the time? 25 minutes. The second chapter, it contains four evidences. It is entitled Bab Ma Ja'a Fil Istisqa Bil Anwa, yani what has been reported, the texts that have been reported concerning Al Istisqa. Al Istisqa is linguistically seeking rain or seeking water. And here what we mean by Istisqa, however, what is meant here is Istisqa, meaning the supplication of people supplicating to the stars, asking them to give them rain, as though the stars have the ability to give rain. Or the belief that some of the pagans had that when it rained, that rain was caused by the stars. Yani the belief that when it rained, the rain was caused by the stars, or the actual supplication to the stars asking them for rain. This is the meaning of Istisqa here in this place. And Al-Anwa is the plural of Naw. And we mentioned this before in the previous sections that we took, where the Prophet ﷺ said, La Nawa, that there is no Naw, meaning that there is no truth to the idea that the stars cause rain. Either as a cause, neither did Allah make them as a cause for the rain, nor do they have any independent power in and of themselves to cause rain. The first evidence that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Waqiyah, chapter 56, verse 82, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that instead of thanking Allah, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ, instead of thanking Allah for your rizq, for the provisions or sustenance that Allah has given to you, instead, in place of that, أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ, you deny Allah's favor. And you deny that the bounty or favor that Allah has given to you is from Him, and you attribute it to other than Allah, and this is kufr. Instead of thanking Allah for the provision He gives you, you deny. That is, disbelieve in Him, or disbelieve in the favors that He has given to you, by denying that those favors or those bounties come exclusively from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The Shaykh says the general meaning of this ayah, in this ayah there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming those who deny His bounties that He has granted them. Those who deny the bounties which they have, that they come from Allah. They deny that they are from Allah, but they attribute them to other than Allah. And from amongst those bounties is the rain, through which the lands are given, the earth has given life, and the people, the creatures, are their life is maintained. That rain, that water, which is the primary source of life. It is of the greatest of the bounties of Allah, and those who attribute it to the stars or to anything other than Allah. And this is kufra and ni'mah, or denying the favors of Allah. And it is a form of kufra, yani kufra amali, kufra in actions, or kufra in speech, or kufra duna kufra, yani minor kufra. That is, if a person is considering that the rain is a cause, not that the rain itself is independent. I mean that the stars are a cause. Not that the stars are independent in causing rain, but they believe that the stars are only a cause that Allah has made. Allah has not made them a cause. Therefore, this is also wrong, and it is prohibited, and it is kufr duna kufr. And it is minor shirk. So here he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed those who deny His favors, which He has given to them, such as the rain, and they attribute it to the stars, or to the position of the stars, or the places of the setting of the stars. While these stars, they don't possess any power, any ability to bring about any benefit, nor to to repulse any harm. Such as the saying of those who say, Mutirna binawi kada. Those who say, we have been given rain by this or so-and-so particular star, or by the movement of that star. And in those who say this statement is a statement, instead of attributing the rain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who causes rain, and who alone has power and control over it, they have attributed that this rain has come to them from a star. The benefits from this, the three benefits that he mentions from this ayat is, number one, that al-khayr and al-shar, all good and all evil, is muqaddar min Allah. It is all decreed by Allah. It doesn't happen. It doesn't take place. It doesn't come except that Allah has decreed it. Number two is that the rain, it is from the risk, the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His creatures. Number three, that attributing Allah's favor to other than Allah, it is disbelief in Him. It is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in denying His favors. It could be kufr akbar or kufr asghar, depending on whether or not the person thinks that that star is only a cause, and which is not, and then in that case it is minor kufr. Because they have given some credit to that star which it doesn't deserve, which belongs to Allah alone, or it is major kufr if they think that the star itself has some power to bring the rain, or that they supplicate to the star, calling on it, attaching their hearts to the star instead of being dependent and relying upon Allah alone. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter under discussion is that this ayat indicates the kufr, the disbelief of the one who attributes the favors, the bounties of Allah to other than Him. And from that are those who attribute the rain to the stars. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter of Tawheed, that this ayat denies, or it rejects those who claim, or those who attribute the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to something other than Him, to ascribe it to other than Him, such as ascribing the rain to the stars, because this is a form of ishraq ma'allah. يعني it is making them as a partner or giving them a share with Allah in His bounties that He alone controls. The second evidence that he mentions is the saying of Abu Malik عن أبي مالك العشعري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أربع في أمتي من أمر الجاهلية لا يتركونهن. That there are four matters or four things which are from the affairs of Jahiliya. And Jahiliya means the time, the era before the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the days of ignorance, while the people were without the knowledge of the correct deen. And whatever is in contradiction to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought in the Quran and the Sunnah is also Jahiliya, even if it is in our time. And Jahiliyyah means the time period before the revelation of the Qur'an, while the people were in ignorance, and it also refers to anything that is in contradiction to the deen of Allah, that which has been revealed in the Qur'an and Sunnah. He said there are four matters which my ummah will not abandon, that they will continue to practice. At least some of them will practice some of these things, or some of them may practice all of them, while some may not practice any of it. But there will always be some people practicing these things from his ummah, and here he means ummatul ijabah, those who have answered the call, the Muslims. Those four things are al-fakhr bil-ahsab, yani having pride in the glory or the courageousness or the fame or whatever the position of one's ancestors, being proud of that while it doesn't yani give you anything, yani it doesn't, you don't have any credit for anything in what the people before did. Al-ta'an fil-ansab, yani making false accusation or speaking ill or criticizing the lineage of other people, and he's talking about someone's parents or their grandparents or their ancestors, speaking ill of them, bringing out their faults. Wal istisqa bin nujum, yani seeking rain from the stars, either by asking the stars for rain directly or believing that the stars have some power or have some yani role to play in the cause of rain. Wan niyaha, that is yani exaggeration in the praise of the dead, or wailing and crying, yani exaggeration in wailing and crying over, weeping over the dead. وَقَالَ النِّيَاحَةُ إِذَا لَمْ تَتُبْ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهَا تُقَامْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَعَلَيْهَا سِرْبَالٌ مِنْ قِطَرَانٍ وَدِرْعٌ مِنْ جَرَبٍ. Rawahu Muslim. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, after mentioning the wailing and weeping over the dead and going to the extreme and praising the dead and niyaha, he said, and the woman who is hired to mourn over the dead, to scream and shout and to say these things that they do as the practice of jahiliyyah, if she doesn't repent before she dies, then she will be brought forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah, she will be raised up while she is wearing some clothing of melted copper or a cloak of scabies. And this means that she will be wearing a clothing which would be like something from melted copper, meaning that her body would be enclosed in it and she would not be able to get out of it or move from it. And also she would have a cloak of jarab, that means some kind of sickness or disease that caused the person to have scabs and to itch and scratch, and she would not be, and that person would not be able to escape from these two types of punishment, in addition to whatever punishment would be given to them according to their other deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. The general meaning of this hadith, the Shaykh says, that Islam has attempted to cut off every relationship to the evil habits of the days of Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance before Islam. Islam wants to cut off every one of those evil habits. So the Prophet ﷺ informed in this hadith that warn them from falling into such actions. The first of them, it is the person who feels honored by his parents or by his ancestors, yani by what they have done. And this might lead to a person becoming idle or slack or falling off from his actions and from bravery or heroism or from doing that which is expected of him if he relies upon that which the people, the glory or the greatness of those who came before him. And you're feeling proud about what the people before you did while you haven't done anything. The second of them is the criticism or speaking ill of the lineage of other people, of their parents or their grandparents or their ancestors. And this is something that leads to the people looking after and searching out the faults of the Muslims. And it also leads to distorting the reputation of the Muslims, which brings to the Islamic society separation and conflict and discord and dissension. The third of them is seeking the rain from the stars, and this is because of what it entails of causing the people's hearts to be connected to and to be dependent upon and confident in and relying upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and surrendering themselves and submitting themselves and humbling themselves to something of the creation that doesn't have any ability to bring any benefit or to cause any harm. The fourth of them is the raising of the voice in mentioning or enumerating the good deeds of someone, yani eulogizing someone, going to the extreme and eulogizing, or in shouting and screaming and weeping and mourning over them, going to the extreme outside of the bounds of what Allah has legislated, because this is an indication that someone has rejected and is not pleased with what Allah has decreed. And it also causes more sorrow for the people, the family of the deceased, and it also widens the circle of those who feel this tragedy. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that for the woman who is the hired woman who wails over the dead, who weeps and wails over the dead, he confirmed the threat that such a person, if they didn't hasten to repent before death overcame them, then they would receive the reward that is mentioned in this hadith, or they would receive the punishment that is mentioned in this hadith. The benefits or the fawaid that the Sheikh Muhammad Al-Qara'awi Hafidhullah mentions from this hadith are many. From amongst them, he said, the blaming of whatever it is from the actions, the evil actions of Jahiliyyah, that all of it is blameworthy. Not only an-niyaha, but all of the actions, the evil actions of Jahiliyyah are blameworthy. The second of them is the prohibition of feeling pride about what one's ancestors have done, as well as the prohibition of speaking ill and looking for the defects in the ancestors of others, as well as an-niyaha, yani excessive, yani excessive praise and eulogizing the dead, or excessive weeping and mourning and wailing over the dead. The third of them is the takfir, yani the disbelief of the one who seeks rain from the stars, who believes, yani that they are kafir, kufr akbar, yani that takes a person out of Islam, the one who believes that the stars are the active force which causes rain. However, if somebody believes that they are only a cause, that they are not the active independent force, but they are only a cause, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them a cause for the cause of rain, while in fact Allah is the one who causes the rain, then this is kufr duna kufr, yani the lesser kufr, or kufr amali, kufr in actions, yani which doesn't take a person out of Islam. In other words, the person who believes in this, it depends on what they believe. If they believe the stars are an independent cause, this is major kufr that takes a person out of Islam. And if they believe that that the stars are not an independent cause, but that Allah is the actual cause and the stars are only a reason for the rain that Allah has made, while Allah has not made them as such, then this is also kufr, yani minor kufr. The fourth point is the acceptance of tawbah before the soul is actually taken from the person, yani before the actual point of death, tawbah is accepted. And also in this hadith is the encouragement for people to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their sins, and that repentance removes a person's sins no matter how great they may be. Number five, the confirmation of the mu'jiza of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that just as he informed that these things would remain amongst his ummah, in fact we have seen that to be a reality. They remain until today. And the sixth point is the confirmation of al-ba'ath and al-jaza', the resurrection, and the recompense or the reward, yani that people will receive in the next life. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter heading is that this hadith indicates the prohibition of al-istisqa bil-anwa, yani of seeking rain from the stars. And number two, the relationship of this hadith to the chapter of Tawheed is that this hadith rejects the istisqa, yani the seeking of rain from the stars, because it is seeking some benefit from other than Allah, and benefit is only from Allah, and therefore seeking it from other than Him, it is shirk. It would be akbar or asgha, yani major shirk or minor shirk, depending on what the person believes. If that one who they're seeking from, they think it is independent of Allah, or they think it is only a cause that is made by Allah, well, Allah has not made it as a cause, therefore we shouldn't take anything as a cause except what Allah has made as a cause. Then he says, a note, that it's permissible to call a person by his nickname or by some other description, even though he may dislike it, if that's the only way that he can be identified. Yeah, it's permissible to call somebody by a name that they are known by, even though it is a detestable description, if that is the only way that they can be identified. The third evidence is that which is reported, وَلَهُمَا, يعني reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, عن زيد بن خالد الجهني رضي الله عنه, he said, صلى لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح بالحديبية على إثر سماء كانت من الليل, يعني كانت من الليل, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم led us in the prayer, in the morning prayer, the subh, fajr prayer, in Hudaybiyah, a place near Mecca, after a night of rain. فلما انصرف اقبل على الناس فقال, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he finished to pray, he turned to the people, he turned his face toward them and he said, هل تدرون ماذا قال ربكم, he said, do you know what your Lord has said? Indeed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the question to call their attention or to get their attention, because he wants to tell them something important. Indeed, he knows that they don't know what Allah has revealed, he knows, but the question is only a means to get their attention. هل تدرون ماذا قال ربكم, do you know what your Lord has said, yani what Allah has revealed? قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم, they said that Allah and His Messenger knows best. قال أصبح من عبدي من عبادي مؤمن بي وكافر, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the morning has come while some of my servants are مؤمن بي, is a believer in me, وكافر, and some of them have disbelieved in me, some of them have reached the morning remaining on iman, and some of them have disbelieved. فأما من قال مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته. So as for the one who says that we have been given rain by the bounty and favor of Allah and His mercy, فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِن بِي. Then that is the one who is a believer in me. كَافِرٌ بِالْقَوْكَبِ. And a disbeliever in the stars. And is the one who said, who attributed the favor of Allah and His bounty, the rain, to Allah. That the rain came from Allah. مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. That it is Allah's favor and His bounty and His mercy on us that caused the rain. فَذَلِكَ. That is the one who is the believer in me and disbeliever in the stars. يعني, meaning, iman here it means the one who is thankful and grateful and attributes the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to him alone. وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءٍ كَذَا وَكَذَا. But as for the one who says we have been given rain by such and such star, yani attributing the bounty of Allah to other than Allah, فَذَلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي. Then that one is a disbeliever in me. Yani this kind of disbelief, as we said, it could be major disbelief or minor disbelief depending on what the person believes. Is that star an independent cause or a cause made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, that is the one who is a disbeliever in me, yani meaning disbelief in reference to the bounties of Allah, kufr and ni'mah, mu'min bil kawkab, yani believing and a believer in the stars. And the Shaykh says in the general explanation of this hadith that Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, radiallahu anhu, has informed us in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ led them in the Fajr prayer in a place called Hudaybiyah, and that salat was performed on the ground which was wet from the rain from the night before. So when the Prophet ﷺ finished from the prayer, he turned towards the people and he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to encourage the Sahaba in doing good, al-khayr, and he wanted to move in them or motivate them to seeking knowledge. To seeking knowledge. So he said to them, do you know what your Lord has said? And they acted with proper adab. فَأَحْسَنُوا الْأَدَبْ. يعني حُسْنُ الْأَدَبْ. They had good adab with Allah and His Messenger, they said. يعني they returned the matter of the knowledge of what Allah has said. They said, obviously we have no knowledge, but they acted in the way that a person is supposed to act when they don't know something. They turned the knowledge back to the one who has a right to it, and they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, that Allah and His Messenger knows best. And then the Prophet ﷺ informed them of what had been revealed to him, that the people had become divided after the rain that had fallen into two groups, shakirun wa kafirun. Shakirun, the one who is thankful, who attributes the bounties of Allah to Allah, he is the mu'min. Wa kafirun, the one who is ungrateful, the one who attributes the bounties of Allah to other than Allah. He has not shown his gratitude to Allah. He is the kafir or kufr and ni'mah. So whoever has attributed to the rain to the favor of Allah, then he is thankful for the ni'mah, the bounties of Allah, and that is the mu'min bi. And whoever has attributed the rain to the stars, then that one has disbelieved in the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the benefits from this hadith also are many. Quickly, from amongst the benefits that he mentioned, the fawa'id, he said that it is commendable or mustahab for the imam, after he finishes the salat and makes taslim, to turn towards the people who are following him in prayer, to turn around to them, or at least to turn around and facing the right. Number two, that it is mustahab to encourage the people or to yani increase their desire for seeking knowledge by istijwab, yani by asking a question that encourages them to seek knowledge. Number three, the confirmation of the characteristic, the sifa al-qawl, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Number four, the good conduct, husn al-adab, for the one who is asked about something which he doesn't know. Yani the good conduct of the person who is asked about something he doesn't know is that he says, Allah knows best, Allahu a'lam. This is the proper adab for the one who is asked and he doesn't know, he says, Allah is the one who knows best. Number five, the prohibition of al-kufr bin ni'am, yani of being ungrateful for the favors of Allah. Number six, the confirmation of sifatul rahma lillah, yani the characteristic of mercy, that it is one of the characteristics of Allah. And likewise in this hadith is the characteristic of al-fadl, that Allah's bounties as well as His mercy is upon the people. Number seven, the ascription or attribution of the ni'mah, the bounties, to other than Allah is disbelief in Him. It is not permissible to ascribe the actions of Allah to other than Allah. Allah is the one who caused the rain. Therefore, the bounties which Allah has given to us, rain or otherwise, it should only be ascribed to Him alone. Number eight, the prohibition of a person saying, مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا. the person saying that we have been given rain by such and such star, or that we have been given rain by anything other than Allah, or that we have been given any bounty or favor, that it has, that its source is other than Allah, because all the khayr is from Allah. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith indicates that ascribing the rain to the stars is kufr in Allah, either major or minor kufr, as we said previously. The relationship of this hadith to tawheed is that this hadith considers the one who ascribes or attributes the rain to the stars as a kafir, because he has attributed the favor or bounty of Allah, and here it means the rain, to other than Allah, and that way he has made something as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the time? Almost time for that? Okay. Inshallah, we will finish this last point. The last hadith, he says, وَلَهُمَا, meaning al-Bukhari and Muslim. However, it appears as though this hadith is only in the Sahih of Muslim. And it appears as though this hadith is not in al-Bukhari. In any case, he said, وَلَهُمَا مِنْ حَدِيثِ Ibn Abbas, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas, بِمَا أَنَاهُ, yani similar in meaning, وَفِيهِ, and it contains these words, قَالَ بَعَدُهُمْ, yani similar to the previous hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ performed the prayer after a rainy night, and then when he said what he said to them, some of the people said, قَالَ بَعَدُهُمْ لَقَدْ صَدَقَ نَوْءُ كَذَا وَكَذَا, yani that such and such star has fulfilled its promise, yani that it has been truthful. It has promised the rain and it has brought us rain. Yani believing that the stars cause rain. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ, then Allah revealed these verses, yani the verses from Surah Al-Waqi'ah, from chapter 56, verses 75 to 82. فَلَا أُقَسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an oath, swearing, a qasam, swearing by the places of the setting of the stars. بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, he swears by them. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ, and this indeed is a qasam. It is an oath, if you only know. It is a tremendous, a great oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making an oath, swearing by something, yani bringing to the attention of the people that as the thing that he is swearing by is a reality and a truth and a fact, and as great as it is, so likewise what he is going to say, it is a great truth that you should pay attention to. إِنَّهُ, the oath that he is swearing upon, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, that it is indeed a Qur'an Kareem, a noble, honorable Qur'an, a Qur'an that contains much good, that is full of good, خَيْرْ كَثِيرٌ. إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ, it is in a book that is protected and preserved, meaning اللوح المحفوظ لَا يَمَصُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَحَّرُونَ, and no one touches that book, meaning اللوح المحفوظ, no one touches it except the pure, which is the malaika, the angels, according to the most correct opinion. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and it has descended, meaning Al-Qur'an. The Qur'an has descended from اللوح المحفوظ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has descended مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, from the Lord of the worlds, from the Lord of everything. أَفَبِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنْتُمْ مُدْهِنُونَ, then is this hadith, yani this speech, meaning the Qur'an, is it something that you could deny, that you could reject? وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ, and you have made your risk, and you have made the risk, the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, instead of thanking Him for it, you have replaced thankfulness with takdhib. أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ, that you deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor, you attribute to other than Him, meaning you disbelieved in Him. You disbelieved in Him by being ungrateful, by not recognizing or attributing to Him the favor that He has given to you. The reason for the revelation of these ayats is contained in the previous hadith, that is, it was revealed when some people claimed that the stars actually brought about rain, that they have been given rain by the stars. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. The Shaykh says in the explanation of this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath by the places of the setting of the stars at the time when they set. And that oath is concerning the confirmation of the greatness of the Qur'an and its blessings. يعني the oath that he made, المقسم به, it is the setting of the stars. والمقسم عليه, the thing that he swore upon, that he swore upon to make the statement, it is in reference to the Qur'an. يعني he made the oath, swearing by the stars, in reference to the greatness and the blessings of the Qur'an. That it is preserved in a book, which is in the hands of the angels, meaning Allah Mahfuz. And that no one touches it with Allah, in the presence of Allah, except the angels who are pure. And that it here, meaning the Qur'an, it has been sent down from the one who possesses the universe and who controls it. وَلَيْسَ كَمَا زَعَمَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And it is not, as the mushrikeen claimed, that the Qur'an, they claim that it is poetry, or that it is sorcery, or otherwise, it is not like that. But indeed, it is a great book, it is preserved in the Lawh Mahfuz, no one touches it except the angels, and it is sent down from the Lord of the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies, by this oath, denies what the pagans claim, that it is only poetry, it is only sorcery. But in fact, it is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he rejects, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejects and refutes those who side with or join forces with the kuffar. In reference to what the kafir said about the Qur'an. And they try to flatter them. Yani, those who flatter the disbelievers in what they said about the Qur'an. And then they distort some of the rulings of the Qur'an. بِتَحْرِيفْ أَحْكَامِهِ They distort some of the ahkam of the Qur'an, as we find some of the people doing today. وَيَرْكَنُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ And they يعني, put confidence in the disbelievers. And they rely upon them and they depend upon them, as we see some of the Muslims doing today. And from that, يعني, relying upon them and turning to them and flattering them and joining forces with them, was in this case, what was meant here is مُوَافَقَتِهِمْ لِلْكُفَّارِ بِنِسْبَةِ الرِّزْقِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْمَطْرِ إِلَى الْأَنْوَارِ And it was that they agreed with the disbelievers in attributing their sustenance, here meaning the rain, to the stars. The disbelievers attributed the rain to the stars, and here some of them attributed to the stars, so they agreed with them. They sided them, and they joined forces with them, and that was in denial of what has been revealed. مُنَزِّلِهِ الْحَقِيقِ وَهُوَ اللَّهِ يعني denying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, the real one, who sends down the rain. The benefits from this statement, he mentions six, that it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make an oath or to swear by whatever he wills, even his creatures. However, it is not for the human beings to make an oath except by Allah or his sifat. Yani the human being can only make an oath by Allah or by the sifat of Allah. We can swear by Allah's characteristics and his qualities because they are part of Allah and they cannot be separated from him. However, it is not for the human being to swear by the creatures, by the creation, by what Allah has created, but it is Allah's right alone to swear by his creation. Number two, the confirmation of the greatness of the Qur'an, and that it is preserved and protected from any change or any yani distortion. Number three, that the Qur'an is revealed, it is sent down, and it is not created. It is not a created thing. It is part of Allah, it is of the sifat of Allah, Allah's speech. It is Allah's speech. And it is not created. Nothing of Allah's characteristics are created. Number four, the confirmation of the characteristic, the sifa of al-ulu for Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high. That Allah is lofty. That Allah is high above everything. His that, his being, as well as his sifat are high and lofty above everything else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has conquered everything. Number five, the prohibition of al-mujamala. Yani mujamala means flattering or showing false friendship with the disbelievers or the enemies or people or anyone showing false friendship towards them or flattering them falsely at the expense of the deen. And no one should try to please anyone at the expense of contradicting their deen. Number six, the prohibition of attributing the rain to the stars. And whether they are independent cause of the rain or a cause that is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter under discussion is that this ayat indicates the disbelief of those who ascribe the bounties of Allah to other than Allah, and from amongst those bounties or the ascription of the rain to the stars. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter of Tawheed is that this ayat rejects and negates the one who attributes the bounties to other than Allah, yani such as the attribution of the rain to the stars, because this is a form of giving something, a share with Allah in the bounties that he alone is the cause of. This is the end of the evidences, and I don't know if we should look at the masail or the questions. Is there 5 minutes remaining? What's this? 10 minutes? Okay. The masail, perhaps we should look at, because there are some explanations in some of them that are not found in the translation of Maktab al-Salam's edition. Of those masail, and there are many, the first of them is the explanation of ayat al-waqiyah, that the ayats that were revealed on that occasion of the rain. The second of them is the mention of the four things which are from the affairs of Jahiliyyah, and also those four things we mentioned, the saying bad things about someone's lineage or being proud of one's ancestors, seeking rain from the stars, and niyaha, yani going to the extreme and praising the dead or mourning over them. The third of those issues is the mention of the kufr in some of these things, that in some of these things it is kufr. Yani, not only the seeking of rain from the stars or attributing to the stars is kufr, but also according to hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, speaking ill or looking for the faults in someone's ancestors, as well as mourning and wailing to the extreme over the dead, this is also a form of kufr. Yani kufr amali, kufr dunu kufr, minor kufr. The fourth issue is that there are some types of kufr that does not take a person out of Islam. Yani if it is minor kufr, then it doesn't take a person out of Islam. However, it is still kufr and it is severe. Even minor kufr is the greatest of the kabair, of major sins, and it should be avoided. Yani some types of kufr does not make a person fall out of Islam. Number five, the fifth issue is the saying that in the morning some of my servants have become believers in me and some of them disbelievers in me due to the descending of his bounty, meaning the rain. Yani some of them ascribed the bounty to Allah, and therefore they remained as believers, thankful, shakir to Allah for what he has given, and some of them, yani ascribed it to other than Allah, they were ungrateful to Allah, and they have fallen into a type of kufr. The sixth issue is understanding the iman in this issue, in this point here. Iman here, it means those who believed in me, believed in Allah, means being thankful to Allah and ascribing to him that which he has given. The seventh issue, understanding the kufr in this matter, it means being ungrateful to Allah and not ascribing that which Allah has given to him, but ascribing it to other than Allah. The eighth issue is understanding his saying, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ نَوْ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and understanding the saying of the person who says that the rain, that the star has fulfilled his promise in bringing about rain. He said that this is similar to the statement of those who said, مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا, yani that we have been given rain by such and such star. This means that the person, such a statement means that the person believes that the star has promised rain and then it has fulfilled its promise, and this is kufr. The ninth issue is the scholar bringing out some issue for the understanding of the student by a question, like the Prophet ﷺ asked them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, do you know what your Lord has said? This type of usloob or this manner of teaching, by asking a question to get the attention of the student and to make them focus on what is about to be said, this is a way of teaching that is learned from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And the tenth issue is the warning or the threat for the hired woman who mourns and wails over the dead. The Prophet ﷺ said that if she didn't repent before death overcame her, then she will be punished with such and such and so, and this is indeed a severe threat. And again, this threat, yani, it comes under the title of Nusus al-Wa'id, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he threatens with something, it comes under his Mashiach. He may do it if he wills, or yani, he may punish them if he wills, or he may forgive them if he wills. Maybe quickly, the questions, or some of the questions, yani, define al-istisqa linguistically, it is seeking rain, and explain what is meant here, it is seeking rain from the stars. Define al-anwa, it is the plural of now, it means the stars, or the positions of the stars, or the movement of the stars, or it also may refer to the phases of the moon, the movement of heavenly bodies, and yani, that these things, knowing their positions or their movements, is a way of knowing something about the unseen. What is the ruling concerning someone who ascribes the favors of Allah to other than him? This is a kufr, a form of kufr, dun kufr, minor kufr. Yani kufr, meaning not being grateful for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by al-jahiliyyah in the above hadith of Abu Malik? It means the time period before the revelation of the Qur'an, before the missioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the period of ignorance. before Islam came to the people in the Arabian Peninsula, and it also refers to anything that contradicts or is contrary to al-Islam as is revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. What are the four traits from the Jahiliyyah that will be found in the Muslim Ummah? Pride in the nobility of one's ancestors, defaming or slandering the lineage of others, seeking rainfall from the stars, and excessive wailing or praise of the dead. What manners or adab might we learn from their saying Allah and His Messenger know best? It is the adab of the one who is asked about what he doesn't know, that he should ascribe knowledge to the one who knows. Yani, in the matter that we don't know, we should say that we don't know. Say Allah is the one who knows best. What is the reason for the revelation of the verses? So I swear by Mawaqi' al-Nujum. The reason for the revelation, it was revealed at the time when rain came, and some people ascribed the rain to other than Allah. They ascribed it to the stars. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, showing or ending with the words that instead of thanking Allah, they disbelieved in Him, yani they were ungrateful by ascribing His favors to other than Him. What is the ruling concerning al-qasam, swearing by other than Allah? It is prohibited to swear by other than Allah. It is allowed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to swear by His creatures or His creations as He wills. However, for us, it is only allowed to swear by Allah or to swear by the sifat, the characteristic of Allah. We swear by Allah's greatness or by Allah's glory and so on. What is the ruling concerning ascribing the rainfall to al-anwa, yani to the stars? It is prohibited. It is kufr, either major kufr or minor kufr. It is yani haram. Some of the benefits that might be derived from this chapter are that which we have mentioned under each title. If there are any questions or any corrections or any comments, quickly, as we are going forth to the prayer, if anybody has any comments. Otherwise, if the sisters have any questions, you can write them and we will take them when we return from the salat. Naam. Is it 5 minutes to the Iqam? Huh? It is? Plus. We can talk any after the salat, because maybe we might... should women leaving women in salat? Should the woman leaving women in salat, is it also sunnah, or leading women in salat, is it also sunnah for her to face the congregation after the salat also, or is it just for the man, imam, leading the salat? Allahu A'lam. I don't know, I never heard anyone discuss this issue. Is it only for the men? It is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, the imam, when it is a man, is different than the imam when it is the woman. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in front of the first line. But as for the woman, if she leads women in prayer, she should not stand in front of the line, but she should stand in the line with women. This is the proof that the woman who leads women in prayer is not exactly the same as the man who leads the congregation of prayer. And Allah only knows if this ruling is applicable to them. But in any case, if one didn't do it, it might be better, since we don't have any proof that it's applicable to women, and Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الولدان شيبا السماء منفطر